Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for explaining who we are to us and removing hope in ourselves. May it be, may we see there's no hope in me trying to be so righteous and good, but that there is hope in you and there is life in you. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us all. Satan, we bind you by the name, the blood of Jesus. We remind you of your defeat. Lord, as we're speaking here, I pray that our ears would be open, the ears of our heart, the eyes of our heart. We would be enlightened because of that. As we hear you, you give us ears to hear. Within Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, if you turn to Romans chapter 13, please, we'll start here. What we were talking about as far as the flesh was concerned is how it manifests itself. We've talked about a number of different things, but excuse me. Next, I want to talk about Romans 13, 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Now, it says this in Scripture a couple of times, and this is the lust, epithumio. Epithumio is based in the sarx. Now, lust, again, is another way that the sarx, the flesh, manifests itself. But please, please, it is not just sexual lust. Unfortunately, we've given the word that connotation in our society. But lust can be for power. Lust can be for destruction. Lust can be for violence. Lust can be for money. All sorts of different things. We're able to twist it up. And in this, for it can be for attention. That's one of the biggest ones. But either way, the sarx has within it lust. And so again, one of the ways that you see the sarx manifesting itself is in lust for various things. Turn now to, again, Galatians 5:13. Again, we're looking at ways that the flesh, the sarx, the flesh manifests itself. Galatians 5, verse 13. And I find this one interesting when we think, because remember we've talked about that the sarx is like a wolf. And one of the things about wolves is they are opportunistic. Now, read this. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Now, it's interesting. I love the Bible. I know what I've said it, but I love the Bible. Paul defines freedom here. What is freedom, according to Paul, in this verse? Yeah, isn't that cool? What is freedom? Serving one another. But I mean, it's what is sarx? Serving me. You know, I mean, it's and this all lines right up with God's law. It lines up with everything about truth and life and all this stuff. Well, real freedom is serving one another. And well, okay, and how do we do that? Well, serving one another comes from, and we're not going to do it unless we're meditating on the law, because the law produces love, and meditating on the law is about God, putting your mind on God, subjecting and upon other people. Jesus said, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love just as I abided in my Father's love. And either way, the thing that I wanted to bring up here is that the flesh is opportunistic. Now, what do I mean by opportunistic? You know, we use that phrase because it's scriptural, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the devil is opportunistic. By opportunistic, he will and we certainly know this, he'll attack you when you're weak. He'll attack you when you're off your guard. That's why it says watch and pray. Watch. You need to be watching all the time because Satan is looking. Well, our flesh is the same way. When we confident in ourselves, things seem to be going all right, or when we're weaker, the flesh takes that opportunity to do what? Now, it's interesting. What is the opportunity? Freedom. Everybody look at it. Come on, look. You were called to freedom. Do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Now, what's the freedom? The freedom is that, first, freedom is serving one another. Well, how would the flesh possibly turn serving one another into, or the flesh turn that freedom into an opportunity for it? Everybody stop and think. When you're serving others, how could that possibly be?
Through agape, it is through from selfish, like.
And there you go.
Ambition.
Yeah, ambition. You're wanting accolades. Your freedom to, you're free to serve, and so you go serve, and you're going, I did that pretty well, didn't I? I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe y'all are not tempted like that, but you're the freedom. And you begin to do it for, you do it for the accolades. Then you do it for, I like people liking me. I want people to like me, et cetera, et cetera. And the service, your freedom to serve, your freedom to do things openly before the Lord and by His power, the opportunity can come that you will use it for favors. You'll use it to hold over on people. You use it for manipulation. For transgression. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Go to Galatians. And I know that wasn't too long of a turn for you. But here we have, and we've been talking about, again, reminding you, how the flesh manifests itself. And now we're going to come to the big one, Galatians chapter 5. And where it's literally listed off for us. Galatians 5:19. Now, before we start reading it, everybody, I want you to stop a second so that you can think about this. I used to read this as, oh, see, it's those people out there, outside the church, of course. I'm telling you, this is the way, you know, you're trained to think of it that way. Those that are out there, that are not in the know. And that's not what the subject of the sentence is. The subject of the sentence and the problem is the flesh. This list doesn't have anything to do with people outside the body. The flesh and the subject that we're talking about is me, or you, trying to live the Christian life by your flesh, by your own strength. That's the flesh. Okay? Pretty close to being a good definition of it, is trying to live, we can just say life, by your own limited power. But Paul is specifically talking to believers here in Galatians, and he is not, in the list we're about to look at, he is not saying it's them, those folks out there. He's saying to you, this can be what happens when you live life in the flesh. Remember yesterday we talked about if you sow to the flesh, you reap what? Corruption. You reap corruption. It's like kind. And what is going on right now, what we're going to be looking at, is the some of those corruptions. But the list we're reading is today's church. The list we're reading is me. The list we're reading is when you try to live the Christian life by your flesh. The destruction comes. Why? Because you're not capable of doing that. You're not capable. You can set those standards up there, and what happens is you fall. One of the most recent Fallings was this guy that I never read his stuff, don't know anything about him, but he wrote a book on, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. I'm not going to bring up his name, but there's his book. I don't know anything about him other than a few weeks ago he went, did he have an affair or something? I can't remember what it was. I didn't read it. I just happened to see, you know, just this little headline. Oh, my word. And he's wiped out, walked away from his church, said, apologized to people, said, I don't guess it was really true. Now, I don't know what he wrote. I would agree with at least the title of his book, but and a lot of people read it. Wasn't anything that concerned me a whole lot. To me, I guess I want to say it's fine to write a book like that. I would hope that somebody would hear from it, but if you're keeping God's word and you're drawing close to Him, what's going to happen is you're going to be living life, walking your life, your Christian life, by the power of the Spirit. You're not going to be tempted to want to do the things that you're not supposed to be doing. So that's why we focus on that here. And hopefully you'll begin to do that, because meditation simply works. But either way, he wiped out. What was going on? It was, you know, let's do this, do that, and in the flesh. And again, I'm not judging him. It's who we are and what happens. So now let's go to the list, understanding, please hear it. This is not about other people. This is about us. This is about us. It's about Christians. Galatians 5, we'll start with verse 19. Miss Davis, are you there? Would you read 19 through 21?
Mm-hmm. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah. The list is a little scary. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, really? Sorcery? What's another word for sorcery? Manipulation. It's manipulation of others. Enmities, in other words, having enemies. Strife, jealousy. Disputes, dissensions, denominations. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't say that. Factions, it did say denominations, didn't it? Envying, drunkenness, carousing. I bring up the story that we've told so many times, but about the young adult class that we knew in this church that didn't preach the law, didn't do much of anything, and as far as those things were concerned, righteousness was not part of things, sadly. And this group started meeting at one of the local country places, country bars, because they wanted to go line dancing. Well, it wasn't, you know, line dancing from what I can tell. Again, I've never done it. I go line limping. And make sure that Mrs. Davis is on the right-hand side, you know, and she drags me. She drags, come on, you know. But evidently is this kind of thing, and I don't know what they do. But, oh, that's innocent. But it's not going to sit still. Not going to sit still. Eventually, it got to going to other kinds of dancing. Eventually, it got to they're meeting at the bar and they're drinking together. And eventually, you looked around and went, where did they go? The deeds of the flesh. These people were not taught anything about the law. And again, I'm not being bad about them. I'm just giving a point of fact. That their lives eventually begin to be ones of they're not walking by the Spirit. Okay, we've already talked about that some. They were walking by the flesh And this is what they're, whatever you feel good because you're filled up with the Holy Spirit must be right. That's walking by the Spirit. That's not what was happening. And the deeds of the flesh came out and eventually ended up with, we would go drunkenness, carousing, Christians? Paul thought so. And we saw it happen right in front of our eyes. The deeds of the flesh, and there they are. Please keep that list in mind. And when you read it through the years, do not consider that, oh, it's somebody else. Turn to Ephesians, please. Again, this is just simply reiterating in some ways something we've already said this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Again, the flesh showing itself through lust and desires here, and also desires of the mind. So again, how do we see what the flesh is? It manifests itself through lust again. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, we'll try to move through this as quickly as we can. Verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. Okay, what do we see right here? One of the ways that the flesh manifests itself is by immaturity. Immaturity in the Lord. Not growing the way that should. If what you are doing is, well, okay, and I think this is really one of the complaints that people had with is it came across. I don't think it was ever intended to be this way. I don't. But it became this way. It became, I finally see it. I can go do XYZ, and if I do XYZ, everything will be fine. And that's not so. And XYZ, what would happen? Now, he started it out, made sure he said it. First thing we have to do is let you know this is completely based on grace. Let me define grace. And biblically, he would say, grace is the desire and power to do God's will. This is the way you need to do these things. And then he took off. What was the problem? Well, I think first problem is mankind, because we're looking for some way, my flesh, looking for some way to help manifest the fact that I am God. For those of you that haven't figured it out, to manifest my own righteousness. Oh, a list! Just like we used to have back in when Moses was up on the mountain, he came down with the list. We got the list. Oh, we've got a list now. All that Yahweh has said we will do, said the people. And there was not thunder, there was laughter from heaven. We looked at those lists and went, okay, good, got it. When those lists are just like within Scripture, if you want to think of it this way. Were there principles in there that you need to be holding on to and asking God to hold on to you? Well, the answer is yes. Are you going to be able to do them in your own strength? Well, that's what the whole subject of this teaching is about, and the answer is no. The thing that you have to do is be seeking the face of God. Meditating on His Word, praying, asking for, you've got to do this. I can't do it. That's right. And the list may get thrown out. He may take you in another completely different direction. But it became the power of the list rather than the power of God. And what happened was people found out it wasn't working. Why? Power of the list is not going to be it. They were doing things in the flesh. I always found it interesting, we brought this up before, but the one thing, and I know I did it, you grab a hold of is what? I can go and ask somebody to forgive me for something I've done wrong. And that became the big deal. Pastors would tell us, we dreaded when they came in because there was going to be a line outside their office of people coming to ask them forgiveness for something that this person had done. And the pastor said, usually it was something the pastor had no idea had even happened and didn't care. The ones that were guilty weren't coming. But these people were coming and lined up, you know, oh, will you forgive me for this? Maybe forgive me. And that, why? That's the one thing that I can do. Now, I'm not arguing about asking people to forgive you. That's a good thing. But when you're doing it in the flesh, when you're going, here's my list, when you focus on that list instead of looking beyond the list, if you look at the Ten Commandments and you go, I will do these things, rather than looking at them realistically. What's the realistic look? I mean, that's why he gave us the first one first. I will have no other gods before thee. That one needs to make your knees weak and you need to drop to the ground because you're going to fail, period. I remember at the first time that I spoke at a men's conference, and a fella had not wanted to hear me, so he'd gone up in his room and pulled out his NIV and hadn't shown up at the meeting. He was there with a bunch of other guys. And at lunch, they were asking him, where are you at? Ah, I saw who that was. I didn't have any idea who it was. I didn't want to hear him. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go up and spend time in my room in the Word. And he pulled out his NIV. And it was hilarious because he was telling them what he did. He's sitting at a round table with all these guys that have just heard about keeping. And he said, and I was reading that scripture in John 14:21. Couldn't believe this poor guy. I mean, you talk about getting set up. And he said, and I looked at it and I went, he who has my commandments and obeys them, God, I will obey you. And that's as far as he got. He got attacked by everybody at the table. Boy, they landed on him real hard. And they were all telling me about it later on, laughing pretty good. But when you think about it, the part that I wanted to bring up was that, and he did this. I mean, they said he looked at it and went, I'm going to do it. He said it out loud. I will obey your word. I will obey your commandments so that I can love you. Now, of course, we know it's a hideous translation, but what do you hear is coming out there? The flesh. The flesh. And the list that we looked at earlier from Galatians would have been part of his life. Maybe it is, I don't know, but he eventually did hear the Eminem talk in a different way. But what happens is, again, in this verse, I had to speak you as infants in Christ. Why? You're trying to do it in your flesh. And when you try to do the Christian life in your flesh, you stay infantile. It only makes sense. The sarx, the S word, is another word for what? Self. And immaturity is all about self. You know, when you're around people that are immature, there's nothing beyond their life. They don't understand when when they do something to hurt you, and you're going, that hurt. I don't understand. Why would it hurt you? It was about me, and I wanted to do it. And you should. I mean, I'm serious. You know, I've met people that have it that bad, and you're amazed. Wait a second. Life is really not all about you. But let's move on. Immaturity manifests itself as immaturity. Verse 2, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. Why? You weren't able to receive it. What's another manifestation? They can't sit still and listen to the deeper things of God's Word. They can't handle it. Why? First, they're immature, right over their heads. And they can't sit still. Let me say another thing about this. People doing things in the flesh don't have peace. People I've seen that absolutely could not meditate, couldn't meditate. I mean, you go, meditate. Okay, yeah, I'm going to meditate. And they couldn't do it. I can't do it. First, they were very immature. Not a surprise. Extremely self-centered and very immature. But they also had no peace. You see, someone without peace can't sit still. They can't just go, I mean, tell them, go and sit down for 20 minutes and just sit down. I mean, they're getting short of breath thinking about it. And then their next question is, now wait a second, you're talking about sitting still without the television, without the laptop, without the iPhone, without the... They may pass out on you. I don't know, you get the bag so they can breathe into it and the panic attack is going on. They have no peace and they're always doing and going after the next thing. Interesting to watch them. One of the ways, again, you see being done in the flesh is they're constantly going after the next thing. But that's like little kids. With a little kid, they're headed, you know, let's say they're crawlers. A crawler, one of the things that they do in the house is because everything is at this height and they're crawling around and they see something that's of a different color. It looks different than everything else around them. You and I know it as an electrical receptacle and they know it as something to play with. And those little tiny fingers can get up inside that thing. They can be in serious trouble. Well, you can either yell at them and say no, and which may not be a bad idea. They need to know that they need to stay away from that. But one of the things that people recommend is just get them interested in something else. And it doesn't take much. If you watch an immature person, they're, psh, 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 psh. You know, that is why today that books are shorter. They've proven this. Books are shorter. Why? Chapters have to be shorter. Why? They don't have the attention span to do it. Ads are, you've got to catch them. You've got to catch them with just the words, but you've got about 20 seconds to get it done. And if it's 20 seconds, that's almost getting to be too long. The attention spans have decreased, and we have become more and more immature. Why? We've turned away from God. All of this really relates. Let's move on through the verse 3. No, we need to start with verse 2. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. You were not able to receive it. Indeed, you are not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is, and here's another one, immaturity, but it is also those that are living by the flesh, jealousy and strife among you. Are you not fleshly? Are you not walking as mere men? Jealousy and strife. It only makes sense. Jealousy is about who? Not about the person that you're jealous for. It's about me. I want it my way. Okay? I love me. I want you. That's jealousy. I want me. I want you. And strife is, again, because of immaturity. Everything's about me. What do you mean I can't have whatever it is that you have? It belongs to me and I want it. You're walking as mere men. Verse 4. One says, I'm Paul, another of Apollos. Are you not mere men? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And again, jealousy, strife, inability to receive God's word, and lack of peace. They are, and it, to me, when you're reading this, if you haven't figured out that denominations are of the world, the flesh, and the devil, here it is. This is what it's about. Okay, turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans 7, here we go. Verse 5, while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. But now we've been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not the oldness of the letter. First, this is a really bad translation, and I want to spend some time with this, because look at what it says in verse 5. While we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law. What? Sinful passions aroused by the law. I mean, I've struggled with that for so many years until I went back and went, wait a second. What's the first clue? Look at your Bibles and tell me the first clue on that this may be a problem. If you've got an NAS, somebody tell me. Right. The word aroused is in italics. What does that tell you? It's not in the original. Somebody added it in, and now you're getting over into opinion. Somebody thought that it would mean that. Now, the King James says it like this: while we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law. Now, that's a lot more accurate, which were by the law. Okay? Now, you can add the word aroused in there, but that's not what the meaning is, and we're going to show you that here in a minute. Which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. That's better, but it's still hard to understand. And so I want to break this up. Okay? So verse 5. For, because, it's because we were in the flesh. Okay? Now what does it mean, being in the flesh? Wait a second, I've got a flesh. That's not what it's talking about. Because we were acting in the flesh, the sinful passions which were by the law. I'm taking out the word aroused. We're just going to do that right away. Were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. Now, and here we go. One of the things that I found, and please keep this in mind when you're studying Scripture, when you're meditating on Scripture, this is a great tool. But one of the things that I've found in helping me understand verses that I'm going, I don't understand what that means, is to change the syntax. And that's S-Y-N-T-A-X, syntax. And what it means is the way, the structure, basically, of the sentence, the way that it's put together. We, in the English, we would say, I go. Subject first, noun first, and then the verb. But many languages do it exactly the opposite. It's go, I. What in the world did they say it like that for? If you look in older English poetry or things like that, Shakespeare will do this. You heard the phrase, here but for the grace of God, what is it? Go I. Here but for the grace, go I. Well, it's very poetic. I mean, it really sounds cool. Here but for the grace of God. Yeah, that's good. But that's not the way we speak. Okay? It's I go. But go I is use it. Okay? And so it doesn't change. It does not change the meaning. Now, you can do that. So you have to be careful. But if you can change the syntax and maybe the structure, the way the words are put together, you can come out with a much better way to perhaps understand what is being said. One of the first ways that I realized this was looking at what people call the exception clause in Matthew on divorce, where Jesus says, whoever divorces his wife except for the cause of unchastity makes her commit adultery. Well, you take the middle part out, except for the cause of unchastity. Whoever divorces his wife makes her commit adultery. Wow. Whoever divorces his wife makes her commit adultery. Put it back in, but put it at the end. You've not changed anything. Whoever divorces his wife, except for whoever divorces his wife makes her an adulteress, unless what? She's already committed adultery. Whoever divorces his wife, except for the case of unchastity. And see, we look at it and go, oh, it's okay. If she has been unchaste, if she's committed adultery, then it's okay. Nowhere does it say that. What it says is, if you divorce your wife, you make her become an adulteress. That's all. However, you didn't do that if she's already an adulteress. That's all it said. You take it out, put it in a different place. Now you put it back in, you can understand it. So we're going to kind of do that with this verse here. Again, going back to the original again, while we're in the flesh, the sinful passions, which were by the law, and we've taken out aroused because it's not there, were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit. We're going to change it in this way. All the words will still be in there. The sinful passions were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. Okay, the word for is no longer needed in the sentence, okay, because of the way we're doing it. The sinful passions were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death while we were in the flesh. You hear it? How does he start it out? While we were in the flesh, and what they're doing is they're trying to follow word for word. This is what the NAS does. Word for word, while we were in the flesh, comma, the sinful passions. So what we're doing is changing and putting the sinful passions in the front. The sinful passions were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death while we were in the flesh. Okay? So what's it saying? While you're in the flesh, the sinful passions are at work in the members of our body because we're in the flesh. The sinful passions were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death while we are acting in the flesh. And it what are we going to do, though? We've got a phrase here that the phrase of we're aroused by the law. First and foremost, of course, the word aroused is not there. Somebody arbitrarily put it in there. What does the phrase by the law mean? And that's what our issue is. The phrase by the law. Now please hear me. The translators could just have easily put in the word, and I want you to stop and look at the verses now, right now. While we were in the flesh, is that the way it goes? Read it, Miss Day. Stop. Okay. While we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were, and they put in a word arbitrarily, put in the word aroused. We could very easily put in the word, and I want you to in your mind, take out the word aroused. Now we're going to add one in, and you're just as guilty. No, because we're trying to make that word by the law, that phrase by the law, make sense. Because this translation is a reason I'm stopping to spend some time on it. It's very upsetting. Wait a second. The law aroused sinful passions? Now, Miss Davis, I want you to read it again. I want everybody to look down there. And when you get to the word aroused, put in the word defined. Go ahead.
For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions, which were defined by the law, were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death.
Interesting. You hear the difference? The word by the law is the way that we will think of things. The word phrase by the law, what he is saying is that these sinful passions, they were known because what is the purpose of the law? That we would define, we would know what sin is. And so all he's saying is that the sinful passions, oh, by the way, those sinful passions are defined by the law. They're by the law. So when he says, which were by the law, they're focused, making us to understand by the law. And that's what is meant here. One of the main definitions of the English word by, this is interesting, everybody listen. One of the main definitions of the English word by is, quote, according to. So now let's change it to where, for the sinful passions which were according to. When we say according to, what do we mean? We can say, well, now, according to the Bible, according to Webster's Dictionary, according to, what are we doing? That word by, what it means is according to. Do you understand? Again, I'm not leading you down some weird path or I'm not adding anything in there. But the word by would much better be translated in the English. It means according to. So read it again with that in there, Miss Davis.
For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were according to the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death.
Suddenly it makes sense. The sinful passions that were according to the law. How do you know what a sinful passion is? How do you know? Your own arbitrary belief? You're uncomfortable with it? No, by the law. And so, I wanted to spend some time with this because that translation of it, and why would somebody translate it that way? We've been preconditioned to do what? Throughout the law. The law is the problem. And, of course, the word doesn't say that at all. It's bad. So let's go on here, folks. Let's just keep on moving. We could spend a lot of time on that, but I'll run away from it. If we continue on with verse 6, and this is another interesting one. Verse 6 says, "Now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Now, wait a second. This is pretty clear. What is clear is we've been released from the law, that we were one time bound to that. Now, you read that with just a perfunctory reading of it, which is a shallowness. It appears that, well, we've been released from the law. That's what it says, right? You can't argue that it's released from the law. But wait a second. What's the subject of this sentence? Let's read it again. "But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness in spirit," newness of the spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. We could change the syntax and make it make more sense. We now serve, in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter, because we have been released from the law. It's not because we're released from the law. What bound us to, because the service that we used to do was how? How did you do the service? It's telling us. Come on. By the letter. And when you do it by the letter, you're doing it how? In the flesh. And what all that he is saying is that you used to be bound up by your flesh. What? Your flesh says, I have to go and obey the law. But Paul's coming along here via the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's going, no, you've been released from that binding that you think you have to obey the law. Now, trust me, God wants the law obeyed. Don't, please. God wants the law obeyed. It's just you can't do it. That's what the whole point of this, that's part of the points of this, is that the law is there and it is the way things work, but you can't do it. Quit trying to show off your righteousness before God and everybody else by obeying the law. You can't. You cannot. And so what Paul is saying is the way that you serve God, the way that you serve one another is not by the oldness of the letter. The oldness of the letter is when you would try to do it in your own sarx, in your own flesh. But you've been set free from that. Why? The new covenant says something so interesting in regards to this particular verse. The new covenant says you don't serve by the letter because what's happened to the law? Come on. It's been put where? Inside you. It's been written on your heart. It's no longer that it's that letter on the outside of me. It's been put upon my heart, and the Holy Spirit does the obeying. I'm now walking by the Spirit. It's not that I disobey the law. It's not that I've been released from the law. And remember, we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 4, where it says that we would fulfill the requirement of the law. You can't just go, okay, law's been done away with. But what has been done away with is you trying to constantly obey it. It's not that when you look at it, you don't go, ah, oh no, not again. Yeah, again. What's the answer? Not you trying harder. Not you being more righteous before everyone. The answer is, I can't do this without you. Well, that was the design, says the Maker. Amen. Amen. It's talking about the manner in which we serve. Okay. We're going to stop.